Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Harmony Hill. That's, you know where you are, right? And we are, oh, the music. What was the music like?
Amen.
Thank you, Stacy. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, choir. We are so honored to have a guest here with us today. I don't see him. Wave at us wherever you are. Pastor John, where are you? There you are. Aren't we glad to have him back? I think one of the main reasons they selected me to fill in is because John and I look so much alike. Why are you laughing? I mean, we're practically twins. Well, that's not true, but all right. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the joints and the marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Turn in the Word of God to Romans 8. Romans 8. I've never done a fill-in-the-blank sermon before. I've done PowerPoints and so on, so this is new ground for me, but it should be interesting. So I've got the little blanks here that you've got. You can match all those up. Today, I want to talk about a benefit package. Are you familiar with benefit packages? Many of you have applied for a job. You might not want to talk about it in the first interview, let them bring it up, but there's more than just the salary, isn't there? There's something more, and it's a collection. Okay, you ready for the blanks here? It's a collection of perks, assets, and extras associated with a particular job or employment. It can also be like you join an organization or an exclusive club. For example, I'm a member of an exclusive club, and many of you are too. Sam's Club has many benefits. It's the only one I can afford to be a part of. Now, the benefits can be many. Actually, the list I compiled is more than I ever got on any of my jobs. Paid vacation, sick leave, medical insurance, profit sharing. Government jobs don't have any profit sharing. I wonder why they spend all the money. Anyway, retirement plans, holidays or sick leave, or dental and vision plans. All those are part of a benefit package that enhances your employment. Now, when I was an administrator with the government, first time I realized that there was more than just the salary. I was charged with doing the budget, and so I put all this on paper, and I realized that all these other benefits cost money, and they were like 30 or 40% of what the salary was. So they're not cheap. Now, in the spiritual realm, there are also benefit packages. And there's the Kingdom of Darkness plan. You want to avoid that one. There's the Kingdom of Light plan. That's the one we're going to focus on today. They are, as you would imagine, significantly different. The Kingdom of Darkness plan is selling well. It is extremely popular. It's extremely pervasive in our culture. And that should be of concern to all of us. Now, the Kingdom of Darkness plan, if you're looking at your blanks, offers temporary pleasures and permanent pain. I want you to get that. Temporary pleasures and permanent pain. Many are in that plan, and they are greatly deceived. And we should have compassion for them. That plan is based fundamentally on lies. It is based on deception. It is based on twisted half-truths, clever manipulations, and false hope. And there are many in it, and they are deceived. Do you realize that we're in kind of a Star Wars type scenario? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus said that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. There was a war in heaven, a rebellion. What was Satan's sin? Pride. I will be as the Most High. Satan decided that he would be as God. That was not going to happen. And Satan was cast out of heaven, and he led a rebellion, and he took a third of the angels with him. Now, if that's not Star Wars, I don't know what is. That's the real Star Wars. Have you ever thought that perhaps Eden was a test of some kind? Could it have been that Satan appeared before God, this is suppositional, and said, "Your judgment against me is unfair. And if you will set up a test and you create a being and give me a shot at them, they will choose me over you." Does that sound like Eden? And we chose badly. But God was not done. He set in motion a redemption plan. And it is offered to every human being. But Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and he is busy convincing people that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not true, that it's too good to be true. And so many of his disciples laugh at what we're talking about today. They think it's absurd, it's ridiculous. How could you believe such a thing? Now you'll notice that in our society, they're starting to say that people who believe in God are obviously in need of mental health treatment. They're psychotic. The Soviets did that. Political dissidents and Christians were herded into mental treatment facilities from which they never returned. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening before our very eyes. Satan's plan has never changed. It looks good, but it isn't good. Now, I want to talk to you about a plan that's not only good, but it's true. And it's called the Kingdom of Light plan, and it's spectacular, amazing, incredible. And we're going to cover just a few of the points of that plan. There's only 8 that we're going to cover today. I don't want you to think that that's all of them. My wife and I have compiled page after page after page list of the benefits that are declared in Scripture for the child of God, for those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Page after page after page. We're just going to look at 8 of them today. It's amazing. Number 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you realize what this is? Those of us who are in Christ are given a position of royalty, and we're walking in freedom. We're not condemned. Have you done anything in your life deserving of condemnation? Have you? All of us have. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Even all our righteous, so-called righteous deeds are as filthy rags in His sight. We're all in the same boat. We look pretty good today, don't we? Well, not necessarily me, but I mean, you know, Sunday dress up, we look good. We all got problems. You and I know, as we look inside of ourselves, we know we got problems. We struggle with stuff. I remember a pastor in Denton. What was his name? Tommy? Can't think of his name right now. He said, if you knew everything about me, you wouldn't let me be your pastor. And if I knew everything about you, I wouldn't let you come to my church. Can I say it? We're messed up. We're all in need of cleansing. And you know what God has said to our sins? They're all forgiven. That's just hard to imagine. They're all forgiven. Some of you feel condemned today, don't you? You're suffering under condemnation right now. I can't believe Here's the proclamation of the Scripture. There is no condemnation to you. God does not condemn you. He paid for your sins. And in the midst of your ugliness and my ugliness, He loves us. Amen. That's amazing grace. I want to sing it right now, but I won't. Anyway. Amen. All right. Okay, we got verse 9 here, the next benefit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, verse 9 of chapter 8. God is within us. I know that is inconceivable, but He is mysteriously within us. That should give you enormous confidence. God is within you. The power that created the universe is within you. Whew, I didn't say that. The Scripture declares that. What do you think our future is if the Spirit of God is within us? What do you think the power is within us if God is within us? It is an amazing part of our great salvation, the Kingdom of Light benefit plan. Number 3, and I have 21 minutes and 18 seconds. Just if you're keeping track. Number 3, verse 11 of chapter 8, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwell in you. Benefit number 3, we have life after death. You know, one day we're going to look back on this and it's going to be like a little blip. I don't know if we're going to remember everything about this or not. I wonder about that. But apparently we're going to recognize each other. I don't know what it's going to be like, but probably better than anything any of us can imagine. And we're promised life. Now, those who are not in Christ are promised death forever. Hell was not created for humans, but the devil and his angels. And whether the Pope believes in it or not is irrelevant. Jesus spoke of it more than heaven. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there, and we're not going there. We're going to where Christ is, ruling and reigning, the glorious kingdom to come. I don't know if you remember years ago, Decision Magazine by the Billy Graham Association had a picture on its cover of a long table. A long table, and it was set with the most beautiful silver, goldware, and gold candle holder. It was just gorgeous. Do you remember that picture? Sometimes you can see it in a Christian bookstore in a frame. Are y'all with me on that? Have you ever seen it? It's a gorgeous picture. And I think of that day. Every time I take communion, he said, I won't drink of the cup again until I'm with you in the kingdom. And I think of that day when we're going to be sitting at that table. It's going to be a long table. Isn't that exciting? Wow. We're going to live after death. Number four, we have a royal inheritance. A royal inheritance. In verse 17 it says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so he be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Everything that God has, we have. You are the lottery is a pittance if you want it. It's a pittance. The inheritance of the saints is beyond imagination. Everything of the kingdom is yours. You are rich beyond boundaries. We have a royal inheritance. Now, this one just amazes me. Number five, we have 24/7 prayer support. But it's even better than you think. First, let's read chapter 27. Likewise, the Spirit who helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes, God the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He searches the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's verses 26 and 27. In verses 33 and 38, we find that He has a partner in prayer. Who is it? Jesus is praying for us as well. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus are praying for you 24/7. Now, I'd call that pretty substantial prayer support, wouldn't you? 24/7. The Holy Spirit and Jesus praying for us. You say a lot of bad things have happened to me. Well, I'll tell you what, many more could have. God doesn't, you say, well, why did God bring this illness upon? God doesn't bring illness upon anybody. Why did a tornado hit my house? Why did God do that? He didn't do that. You said, well, He's in charge of everything. Look, this is a fallen world. It's under a curse. The curse comes from the garden. The curse comes from a bad choice. There's judgment upon this world. God offers, everything's out of kilter. It doesn't work like it should. He doesn't bring disaster. He often saves us from it. And when He does it, there's a reason. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, I don't either. But number six tells us what happens about all that. In verse 28 it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Tell me that's not unbelievable. No matter what happens, God works it out. No matter what. You say, I've been through so many horrible things. I've lost loved ones. I've had pain. I've had it. I've It's been horrible. I've had so many troubles. I've been fired. I've been hungry. I've been cold. All things work together to the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. There's a story about in the Middle East, a little boy and a shop where they made rugs. And the little boy was in the shop and he was just sewing all sorts of patterns that didn't look like anything. And someone said, that doesn't seem like it's going to ever come out to be anything. And he said, oh, no problem. I'm just doing what I do. My uncle is a master carpet maker. And when he gets here, he will make something beautiful out of what I've done. Folks, that's the promise. He's going to make something beautiful out of your life. What a promise. All things are going to work to the good. You thought, I had a horrible day. It's going to work to the good. Does God lie?
No.
Number 7. Read verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Them he also justified. And who he justified, he glorified. God's got this thing all under control. It's not only going to work out, but it's been planned to work out from eternity past. He knew you were coming into the kingdom. He knew when he drew you that you were going to come. Do you remember that day?
Amen.
For some of you, it could be today.
Right.
When you walk up and take hold of a benefit plan, which is amazing, amazing grace. You've been lied to. You've been told that the world will satisfy you. You've been told that if you follow the world's way, everything's going to work out. It's not. And many of you have already discovered that. So we are promised blanks to fill up here. We were promised a chosen status, complete justification, and a glorious future. Sounds good to me. And finally, but not finally, because this list goes on and on and on. But we're going to stop here with verses 33 and 39, we are promised absolute security. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's you. It is God that justifies. In other words, salvation is God's business. Man can't do it. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ is praying for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then here comes the list. And what's the conclusion? What's the conclusion? Give me a word.
Nothing.
Nothing. But just in case you need help here, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. There have been more Christian genocides in our lifetime than perhaps ever. They're going on right now. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers. Are you still with me? You can get tired reading this. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That's security. That's security. You know, one of my favorite movies, and it's not appropriate, is The Godfather. I didn't like 3, but I like 1 and 2. And yes, I'm Italian. And yes, I don't look like John Green. But I'll tell you what, in that movie, I loved this one phrase. I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. And this is an offer that we cannot refuse. We just can't refuse it. The benefits of this great salvation are beyond anything that we can imagine. The world system and the enemy who runs it offers us fleeting pleasures and permanent pain. The other day I was reading a scripture that said that here are the things that God hates, and I read through that list, and you know what that describes? The world system. He hates all that stuff. The lying, all of that. The misrepresentation, the slander, the manipulation. He hates it all. And that's why he sent Jesus to die for our sins. It cost him everything. It may be free to you, but it cost him everything. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the scripture declares. And Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, except you change your mind, you shall all likewise perish. The world system is going down. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his great love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. For those of you who are Christians and you're kind of down in the dumps, you're discouraged, I hope you've been encouraged by just hearing some of what Christ has done for you, what is coming for you, and what is available to you now. And if you've never come to Christ, I hope you will run to today and accept this great salvation. And if you're listening over the airways, I pray that you'll kneel right down where you are and say, Jesus, save me. I want it. I want that benefit package. I want everything you've done. And I want to leave this place and move into your kingdom. Well, now's the time to make that decision. And I want you to stand with me today, and we're going to pray. And there's going to be an elder or someone here at the front to receive you. If you want to come forward and you need counsel, you need prayer, you need something, they'll be there to help you. And it will go on beyond this service if necessary. So you come as we sing together. Before we sing, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray, Lord, that this time that we have right now will be a time where people will look and see what they have as Christians, and if they're lost, they'll see their great need of salvation, and they will embrace it with their whole heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.